In the beginning of the purport to text 8, Srila Prabhupada discusses the importance of the mind. The mind can be one's best friend or one's worst enemy. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of one's thoughts at the time of death. That if one can think of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna at the time of death, he can enter the pastimes of Krishna. So we should practice now. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises Tishtan Vraje. One should live in Vrindavan. The land of Vrindavan is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.294. So the following two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu form part of a larger discussion of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti are activities engaging the senses by which dormant love for Krishna or bhava bhakti is awakened. And he explains there are two divisions in sadhana bhakti. One is Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and the other is Raganuga sadhana bhakti. In Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, one is impelled by the arguments and logic and injunctions of the scriptures. And Srila Rupa Goswami cites one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam as an example. That one who wishes to be fearless at the time of death should always hear, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if one has no spontaneous attraction for hearing, chanting, or remembering, but if one wants to become fearless, and we all want to become fearless, especially at the time of death, he must hear and glorify and remember Krishna. So there are so many things which we may not like to do, like rising early in the morning, and so many things. But on the order of the scripture, we follow the instructions in order to achieve the results. There's no question of liking or not liking. We must perform the activities as a matter of obedience to the scripture or to the order of the spiritual master. But there's another division of sadhana bhakti called Raganuga, where the devotee is spontaneously attracted by the service of the residents of Vrindavan when hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam or other sources about the pastimes of Krishna with the residents of Vrindavan. Now, such spontaneous attraction is extremely rare. But still, Rupa Goswami has explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and here in Upadeshamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti also. So I'll read some related verses which include the two verses quoted in the purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, chapter 22. We'll begin with text 149. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So, Anuga, what is the meaning of Anuga? Any idea? Following. So Raganuga means following the ways of Rag. So first we will read the definition of Rag, which comes in text 150. Ishte swarasiki raga parama vishtata bhavet tanmayya bhavet bhakti shatra ragatmiko dita. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. That is called transcendental attachment, rag. And devotional service according to that attachment is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. Purport. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.272. So rag means deep attachment and complete absorption in some object. And devotees who possess such attachment or rag are called ragatmika. Text 151. Ishtagada Trishna Ragera Swarupa Lakshana Ishte Avishishta Etatashta Lakshana. The primary characteristic, Swarup Lakshana, of spontaneous love, rag, is deep attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absorption in Him is a marginal characteristic. Text 152. Ragamai bhakti rahaya ragatmika nama tahasuni lubdahaya kona bhagyavan. Thus, devotional service which consists of rag, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate. So this brings us to the point of eligibility. eligibility for Raganuga Bhakti is covetousness, to possess what mood of service the residents of Vrindavan have in relation to Krishna. The general eligibility for devotional service is Shraddha. So this is one type of Shraddha. It can be said that there's two types of Shraddha, one for Vaidhi Bhakti and one for Raganuga Bhakti. Or particularly this can be called Lobha, or transcendental covetousness, to possess the same mood of service as the residents of Vrindavan. Lobhe vraja vasira bhave kare anugati shastra yukti nahe mani raganugara prakriti. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, he does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of shastra. That is the way of spontaneous love. We'll have to discuss what it means. He does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of the scripture. We'll have to discuss. Text 154. Virajantim avivyaktam vrajavasi janadishu ragatmikam anushrita yasa raganuchoyate. Devotional service in spontaneous love, ragatmika bhakti, is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. Purport. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.270. Tat tat bhavadi madurye shute diryat apekshate nacha shastram na yuktim cha talabhotpatti lakshanam. When a devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan and becomes inclined in that way, and his intelligence becomes becomes inclined in that way, and his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instruction of shastra, revealed scripture, logic, or argument. Purport. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.292. There is one other verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu which explains that when one follows Vaidhi Bhakti, he is bound to consider the injunctions of the scriptures until the appearance of Bhava. And generally, Srila Prabhupada's books emphasize the same point, that one should follow the regulative principles, and when one comes to the stage of bhava, everything will be automatically revealed, and one need not make any separate endeavor. There is an exception, and the exception is the devotee who, while hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, becomes attracted to the ways of service of the residents of Vrindavan. And he wants to serve in a particular way. Indasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsayaras, or Madhuryaras. Then even though he's in the stage of sadhana, he hasn't come to the stage of bhava, but still, because of intense greed to possess such love for Krishna and render such service to Krishna, he also acts spontaneously, not because the scriptures say that you must do it, because the scriptures don't say that you must do it, but because he has an intense desire. So here, when we read that natra shastram na yuktim cha, shute diryat apekshate natra shastram na yuktim cha, that his intelligence is spontaneously attracted and does not depend on the arguments or logic of the scripture. It means that his impetus is not anything except to have the mood of service that he covets. In other words, his reason is not, you know, to become fearless at the time of death. His reason is not to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. There's no reason. But naturally, spontaneously, he wants to serve Krishna following the ways of some resident of Vrindavan. But he's not independent of the scripture, because when he wants to achieve his goal, he will naturally want to know, how can I achieve my goal? And then he will go to the scripture, which guides him how to achieve his goal. For example, if someone wants to drink very sweet milk, so spontaneously he wants to drink sweet milk. Nobody is telling him that you must do it. He wants to do it. But to achieve his goal, there is some process. So he will inquire, and he will find that he has to get a cow and feed the cow. And at the time of milking, he will put some ghee, and he will, and the whole procedure. Then he will take the milk, put it on the fire, boil it, add sugar, offer it to the deity, and then take milk. So spontaneously he wants to drink very sweet milk. But in order to get what he wants, he has to follow the procedure. So in the same way, a Raganuga devotee spontaneously wants to attain the mood of service of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. But in order to learn how, he will go to the scripture. But in Vaidhi Bhakti, one will read everything in the scripture and follow everything in the scripture. Whereas in Raganuga Bhakti, one will read the parts especially that will be favorable for him developing his mood of service. So the basic activities will remain the same, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. But the mood will be different. As we read in Srila Prabhupada's description of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that when one is spontaneously attracted to a particular incarnation of Godhead, he will want to hear the pastimes of that particular incarnation from the devotees who have similar attraction. Now we come to the verses which Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport here. First text 156 and 157. Baya antra iharadui ta sadana baya sadaka dehe kare shavana kirtana mane nija siddha deha kariya bhavana rachidine kare vraje krishnera sevana. There are two processes by which one may execute raganuga bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the shastric injunctions, especially hearing and chanting. However, within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours, all day and night. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrihi tadbhava lipsuna karya vrajalok anusarata. The advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regulative devotee, as well as internally from his self-realized position. Thus he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-295. Sadakarup and Siddharup. Sadakarup means one's position as a sadhaka, as a practicing devotee, still in the material world. And siddharup means as a liberated soul. So the same principle applies in both conditions. But here, some persons called sahajiyas misunderstand. One should do seva, both in sadhaka rupa, with the external body as a devotee practicing regulative devotional service, and siddha rupena, with a body suitable for eternal self-realized service. Tadbhava lipsuna karya. Desiring to obtain the bhava of the particular resident of Vrindavan whose mood he wants. Vrajalok anusarita. He will follow in the footsteps of that particular servant of Krishna in Vrindavan. So the defect of the sahajiyas is that they don't accept the Goswamis, like Rupa and Sanatana, in the category of residents of Vrindavan. They only accept Srimati Radharani and Chandravali and others. And they think that to follow them in the body of a sadhaka means to dress the body as a sakhi. In other words, they don't really follow in the footsteps, but they imitate. Even now, from what we hear, there's one man in Navadvip. He dresses as a sakhi and considers himself to be a manifestation of Lalita Devi. But the true understanding given by Srila Rupa Goswami and his followers in disciplic succession is that we follow Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and others in the form of a sadhaka, in the way that they served. Means the six Goswamis always used to chant the holy name, they used to do kirtan, they used to dance in ecstasy, they used to meet and discuss, they used to do parikrama, they used to write books. So in the sadhaka's body, we should follow Rupa Goswami, or our own spiritual master, as we have seen our own spiritual master do sadhana. And when we come to the position of siddha, then we can serve them as they serve in Krishna Lila. Not that with the physical body we try to imitate. For example, the residents of Vrindavan in Krishna Lila, they don't accept Guru, they don't observe Ekadasi, they don't worship Shalagram Shila or Tulsi Devi. So if someone thinks that with the body of a sadhaka we should imitate the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna Lila and not observe Ekadasi, it is wrong. So we should follow the Goswamis, who are also residents of Vrindavan. And the Goswamis established the principles in their books, and they set the example. They accepted spiritual masters, they observed Ekadasi, and so many things that the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna Lila don't do. And when the time comes that our siddha deha becomes manifest, then we can serve in as Nanda and Yasoda, or Sudam and Sridam, Raktak and Patrak, or Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, and so on. Text 159. Nijabhishta Krishna Presta Pacheta Lagya Nirantara Sevakare Antarmana Hana. Actually, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are very dear to Krishna. If one wants to engage in spontaneous loving service, he must follow the inhabitants of Vrindavan and constantly engage in devotional service within his mind. And the other verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Krishnam smaram janam chasya prestam nija samihitam tat tat kata ratas chaso kuryad vasam vraje sada. The devotee should always think of Krishna within himself, and one should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship to Krishna. And one should live in Vrindavan. However, if one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. When one is spontaneously attracted to follow a particular servant of Krishna in Vrindavan, he should constantly hear and talk and remember Krishna's pastimes with that particular devotee whose mood of service he wants to follow. Dasa saka pitradi prayasi ragana ragamarge nija nija bhavera ganana. Krishna has many types of devotees. Some are servants, some are friends, some are parents, and some are conjugal lovers. Those who are situated in one of these attitudes of spontaneous love, according to their choice, are considered to be on the path of spontaneous loving service. So, are there any questions? Yes.
How is it to combine that we should live in Vrindavan? All the other wind creatures in the Bhagavad Gita, that he who preaches this knowledge to my devotees is most dear to me.
One can preach in different ways. Like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami lived in Vrindavan, and they wrote books which we are reading, which we are distributing, which we are preaching. If one is not able to live physically in Vrindavan, then he should live in Vrindavan mentally. But he should always be thinking of, but this is not for everyone, these are just for very few persons who are on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. They should always be thinking, where is Krishna? What time is it now? What time is it?
It is now 6:10.
6:10. Where is Krishna? Yes, he's come back from herding the cows. He's in Nanda Bhavan, in Nanda Gram.
Taking milk.
Taking milk. So, okay. So now we know where Krishna is. And where is that servant of Krishna who I want to follow? Where is he right now? And what is he doing? So this is what we should be thinking. Wherever we are. It's mentioned in the purport that when one has taste, we haven't read that part together, but after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. One has to have taste, and then he can constantly try to do these things. But we don't have such taste. But how to develop taste? Yes, people are saying by hearing and by chanting. But we also discuss that by serving a pure devotee. Sususho shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat seveya vipra punyatirtha nishevana. By serving pure devotees who are free from vice, a great service is done. And by such service one develops ruchi, affinity for the message of Vasudeva. So service is very important. Without service we can't develop such taste. It's true, we can develop it by practicing hearing and chanting. But how many hours can we hear and chant? Not so many hours. So what will we do the rest of the time? So if we serve the pure devotee, if we serve Srila Prabhupada and the mission of the previous acharyas, then we can develop taste. And to the extent that we have taste, we can try to live in Vrindavan and absorb ourselves, as Rupa Goswami says, by chanting and hearing and remembering Krishna. So we discussed in the beginning that different instructions apply at different stages or to different devotees at different times. Now when we talk about the residence of Vrindavan, we mean the eternal residence of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yasoda, the cowherd boys headed by Sri Dham and Subal, Srimati Radharani, the gopis, not to the rickshaw wallahs, not the tea wallahs or the dacoits or the gundas or the murderers. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the eternal residents of Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Nandan Yasoda, and others, and their followers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and their followers. But they also had children, but they were always thinking of Krishna. Whatever they did, they were always thinking of Krishna. So we can learn from them how to always be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Mother Yasoda also used to churn butter, but she was thinking of Krishna, singing about Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan cannot forget Krishna for one moment. They never forget Krishna. So if one wants to serve Krishna in motherly affection, so he should especially think of Mother Yasoda's service to Krishna. If one wants to serve Krishna as a cowherd boy, then he should think of Subha's service, for example. Those residents of Vrindavan. The goal of every resident of Vrindavan is to increase the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna always wants more and more girlfriends, boyfriends, and devotees in different rasas. So any servant of Krishna will want to increase Krishna's pleasure by bringing more devotees to serve Krishna. So there's no question that they won't want us, if we're qualified, to come and serve with them or in subordination to them. But it's true, we also have to be qualified. And the qualification is we have to have very intense desire. And we have to practice as the Goswamis have taught and shown. And we should also have the seed of that prema within us. Like Murari Gupta was a devotee of Lord Ram, but he was also a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was always glorifying the sweetness of Krishna. And he wanted Murari Gupta to worship Krishna. But Murari Gupta, although he wanted to, but he couldn't give up the service of Ram. Because he was by nature the eternal servant of Ram. So he couldn't give up the service of Ram. And in the end, Lord Chaitanya congratulated him. He said, "You are the incarnation of Hanuman." But if we have the seed of that particular type of prema within us, and if we have a strong desire to serve in that way, and if we practice as far as possible, then when Krishna and his devotees are satisfied and give us their mercy, then we can enter.
This is our relationship with Krishna is a sambandhya. This is called sambandhya. Like dasya ras or sakharas or vatsalya or madhurya ras.
Yes, general sambandhya is I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. But what kind of servant and which form of Krishna is not known.
So that will be known, and then gradually, I mean, we cannot say, like, if I say I want to associate with Krishna in Madhurya Rasa, so I mean, if I practice, so it is not that I will get it. I mean, it should, my eye meter in one rasa.
True.
So, I mean, how will I know it?
Well, now, in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada has given us the worship of Radha and Krishna. And Krishna includes all avatars. And Madhurya Rasa includes all rasas. So if we follow in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the worship of all avatars and the service of all rasas is included. And according to what prema is inherent within us, we will come to whatever is natural for us. That's true.
We should concentrate on Madhurya as because all the rasas are included in that. So we should hear more about
There's no harm. Of course, the danger, as we mentioned the other day, is that hearing the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, we might think of material affairs of boys and girls, which will be very bad, because if lust comes in our mind, then everything will be spoiled. But if we can hear with Shraddha, and just Shraddha especially with Lobha, then lust will not come, and then hearing will be beneficial. But if we don't actually have Lobha and we hear, then lust may come. And as Srila Prabhupada said, instead of becoming purified, we'll become putrefied. So Lobha should be there, Shraddha should be there. Then it will be beneficial.
I mentioned that if somebody feels an attraction to a particular type of relationship as to Krishna, he has to approach the scriptures which instruct him how to attain this relationship of sweet meals that anybody wants, and he has to follow the right procedure. So what type of scripture one is supposed to approach when he feels any kind of attraction to those kind of relationships?
Well, the basic scriptures are Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the same principles are more elaborately described in Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then there are books that describe about the pastimes of Krishna and the devotees of Vrindavan. Like in the Krishna, yeah, Prabhupada mentioned Pidagda Madhava, Lalita Madhava. And in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada mentions Krishna Bhavanamrita by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It describes Krishna's pastimes in the eight periods of the day. So at any time of the day, we can think, oh, what time is it? Where is Krishna now? What is he doing? What are his parents doing at this time? What are his friends doing at this time? What are the gopis doing at this time? What are the servants doing at this time? So we can learn all about Krishna's pastimes and the services of the devotees in different rasas throughout the day. And then we can yearn to serve like them. Of course, the basis is Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes.
I don't know if I understood correctly when you presented it, but you said that you should be thinking, like, where is Krishna? Where is the associate of Krishna that I can follow at this time? But I'm just wondering if there's anything artificial about that. Is this automatically revealed first to a person at a mature stage, or should it be? Think this way, if there's any, I was wondering if there's any meaning towards the hedges and think that way, or if anything artificial, or if that's fine.
No, if one has taste, then he can do these things to some extent. And the more his taste increases, the more he can do them. But if our taste is not so strong, which is usually the problem, then to increase our taste, we should serve the devotees. You know, if there's service to be done, and if I refuse the service because I think, oh, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Krishna must be coming home from the pasturing grounds, I have to meditate on Krishna, and then I fall asleep, or I'm thinking about money and women, then it's artificial. Then we should, you know, rather do some practical service. And practical service is not less, in any case, on the absolute platform. But if we're able to actually think of Krishna's pastimes, then we should follow what Rupa Goswami says. And this is Upadesha Sara. This is the essence of all advice. This is the essence right here of all advice. Of Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasas. The essence of all advice, of all scriptures, is this. But to come to that stage is not easy. And if we imitate and give up our real duties, then it's bad. The other day I read about quality in chanting. One devotee asked about how to chant with quality. And Srila Prabhupada said, when quality comes, then you'll know what it means to chant with quality. So there is another discussion about quantity. In Bombay, I was there. Morning Walk, Bombay, November 10th, 1975. Lokanath. You know Lokanath Swami? He's here in Vrindavan. Prabhupada, why have we chosen 16 as the number of rounds to chant? Prabhupada, yes. Lokanath, why not less or more? Prabhupada, we have fixed up 16. Lokanath, we are chanting 16. Prabhupada, no, we say minimum 16. Minimum. Lokanath, why that 16 minimum? Prabhupada, if you can, 16,000 you can do. 16 rounds is the minimum. But if you're able to chant 16,000 rounds, that is welcome. We have so much engagement. Still we say, we don't find engagement. This is our misfortune. Haridas Thakur was engaged in chanting, and the prostitute came. She offered, let us enjoy. Yes, let me finish. Let me finish this chanting. So much engagement, and still we say, no engagement. He refused to have sex with a beautiful young girl because he had engagement. First of all, let me finish my engagement. And we say we have no engagement. How unfortunate we are. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. 24 hours engagement he is given. Lokanath, some devotees have fixed different numbers than 16. Some are chanting minimum 20 or 25. Prabhupada, yes, it should be increased. Lokanath, is it recommended for our Prabhupada? But don't decrease. Don't decrease. Increase. Therefore, our number is fixed. At least this much I shall do. That is 16 rounds. Lokanath. But you are recommending 16 as a minimum, and some devotees are choosing 20 as a minimum, Prabhupada. So who forbids? Who says that don't do it? Lokanath. They can chant? Prabhupada. Yes, that is wanted. Because you cannot do it, therefore we have fixed up this minimum. Sankhita, asankhita. Sankhita means with vow, numerical strength. And asankhita means there is no limit. Yasamatinanda. It's not complete. Because, anyway, are higher than any other activities, or they are on the same platform. Any activities in Krishna consciousness. Is chanting the most exalted, or Prabhupada? Everything is exalted. Therefore, there are nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, so many. They are all exalted. Yasomatinanda. So why is it recommended chanting in this age particularly? Prabhupada. Suppose you have no temple, so you cannot perform archana. So this is common. It is not that because you have no temple, therefore your devotional service is stopped. There are other processes you can do. In other words, chanting is something you can do anywhere at any time without any restriction or condition. Lokanath. Prabhupada, if we chant more than 16 rounds, how do we know whether we are imitating Haridas Thakur or following his footsteps? Prabhupada, imitation is also good. If you imitate Haridas Thakur, that is also your great fortune, even if you imitate. Imitating does not mean you are condemned. Even if you imitate, that is also good. Then there's a break, and obviously someone asked that what if a devotee has to do some other service? Then Prabhupada says, if you have some other service and if you say, now I'm imitating Haridas Thakur, I cannot do it, that is very bad. Get the sense? Yes.
One other question. So I have an idea that I'm attracted to the slacking ras, so I start to meditate in this way. But actually my eternal ras may be material ras, for example. So how do you go about that? Someone's thinking that way, then you realize it's actually a different ras.
Sometimes it happens that someone is inclined to a particular ras and then realizes that his eternal ras is something else. Like Shamananda Prabhu, he was inclined in Sakya ras. But later when he came to Vrindavan and got the association of Jiva Goswami, he realized that his eternal service is in Madhurya ras. It can happen. But generally, everything is arranged by Krishna. He knows what's in our heart. And he'll arrange for us to get the type of association that will bring out our eternal mood of service. He's asking whether Raganuga Bhakti applies to following the eternal residence of Vrindavan in service to Krishna, or whether it can also apply to following the eternal residence of Srinavadvip Dham in service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, it specifically applies to following the eternal residence of Vrindavan. Of course, if one is attached to the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and simultaneously attached to the service of Krishna, he can go to both places and serve in both pastimes. Like Sarab Damodar is Lalita Devi in Krishna Leela and Sarab Damodar in Chaitanya Leela. But the specific process of Raganuga Bhakti is meant for following the eternal residence of Vrindavan. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a devotee, like us, as a sannyasi, as an acharya. And except for eternal associates, or even with the eternal associates, there is some conception of Lord Chaitanya's superiority. In Krishna Leela, nobody thinks that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They think of him as their son, their friend, and whatever. Whereas in Gaur Leela, they think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the superior authority. When Lord Chaitanya was eating earth, anyway, there's so many examples, but the basic idea is that there is some observance of regulative principles with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, either because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead or because he's the superior authority. But in Vraja, there's no conception that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or superior in any way. And therefore, the residents of Vrindavan, like Mother Yasoda, can take up a stick to Krishna. She can bind Krishna. She can scold Krishna. And the cowherd boys, they climb on Krishna's shoulders. They wrestle with him and sport with him. And if they defeat Krishna, then Krishna has to carry them on his shoulders. They have no conception that he's the Supreme Lord or that they may commit any offense. But in Gaur Leela, there's consideration that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is superior and we should not commit offense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself instructed, what we just read was from the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami on the subject of Raganuga Bhakti. So he gave the process to Rupa and Sanatana and others, and they've written books that gives the process to us. And they also showed the way. Although they were eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they came to Vrindavan. And internally they were remembering the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and thinking how to serve Srimati Radharani and Krishna under the guidance of Lalita Devi and so on. So that is actually Raganuga Bhakti. Hare Krishna.